Hello, my name is Chip Lang. You're listening to Total EM. Today's podcast is going to be another brief one. This is all about leaving the ivory tower. What I mean by that is leaving more of the tertiary care academic centers of excellence where we actually go out into the community setting. Those of you who are listening know that I am someone who works in a rural setting. I do work a little bit in more urban environments, more tertiary, but not even really necessarily tertiary centers, but bigger centers some of the time. And I've also had a background in that. And let's think about this for a second. Everyone who works as a PA or as a physician has had training in that large academic environment. It's pretty much required with how we go to school and where we go to. You're going to have to do that to a degree. And some people get their residencies and fellowships and other additional advanced qualifications in those types of environments, because that's usually where you go to get academic training. And it's all good stuff. It's all stuff we need to do, but we can't all stay there. And we are going to have to venture out. So what I'm going to talk about today, just briefly, is about some of the fine points and some of the reasons why I consider people leaving the ivory tower. It's not because they don't want to or they don't enjoy the knowledge base, but what we can do about it and why we should be outreaching to our other facilities, even if we don't necessarily leave that academic center. We could do things to help it out. In fact, I was just at a class the other day that was all about pediatric critical care, because that's something that was an outreach program and it's something that was needed. And listening and looking at all the people who are there, they definitely gained experience from that. But that's something that couldn't happen without this type of outreach. So again, we're going to talk about all that today here. And let's get it started with something that's basically pretty brief and pretty simple to understand. It's what the differences are. The fact that when you work in a rural setting, you're going to be in basically a resource-limited environment. Now, you can argue that technically any hospital is a resource-limited environment, right? We don't have everything under our belts. But let's talk about some of the differences here real quick. I may not have access to specialists that you may have at the academic center. And this can sometimes be a real challenge because we also may not have medications or equipment that those specialists would have access to. Let's take a really quick example. Most of us working in a rural environment do not have access to, say, neurosurgeons or ophthalmologists. Now, those are going to be two things you're going to commonly see in a tertiary care environment. And what happens is that we're going to have certain patients. We're going to try and handle as much of that as possible at home. But if you need a neurosurgeon, you need a neurosurgeon. It's not like I can delay this or wait a while. In most cases, this is going to be something that needs to be transferred emergently. So sometimes we're transferring simply to get to that specialist. So sometimes we also need access to resources and equipment that we don't have. For example, that cardiology suite where we're going to have that access to an interventional cardiologist may not have that type of center. We may have a cardiologist, but they may not have those resources there, or we may not have certain reversal agents such as adarosizumab or Kcentra or any of those types of products that are going to be things that are highly expensive and hard to keep, or maybe even something as basic as antivenom. It's hard to get antivenom quickly, so it may be easier and more efficient to actually transfer the patient to a place with antivenom. All of those are things that we need that are hard to get access to. And it may sometimes seem like a weird case for us to transfer that patient, but trust us, usually a lot of times the hospitalist or whoever we're talking to on our side may say this is simply something that this person may need or will need, and we don't have that here, and we need to move them to the next place. Now, on the flip side, this is actually some reasons that people actually want to work in a rural environment is because it's so challenging. Not only are you resource limited, but you have to become a specialist in many things that you're not necessarily a specialist in. So I refer to this as you're being the jack of all trades. And the reason why is because in any emergency department, we're going to be a jack of all trades. We have to know the critical diagnoses and management for those patients in pretty much every specialty, because we're going to start at least the first 10 or so minutes. And usually in the emergency departments and rural settings, or on the EMS and rural settings, we're going to be managing this patient for hours. And we're going to have to stabilize that patient before we can transfer them. And sometimes it may simply be that this is something that you're not going to be able to realistically transfer out, whether it's because the patient says, no, I'd rather get it done here, or it's someone who that maybe, even though this is something you'd like to send to a specialist, if you were in a tertiary environment, you'd invite them to come downstairs and take a look themselves, but you're not always going to have that. And one of the most classic ones are plastic surgeons. Most big centers are going to have plastic surgeons. I don't. And so if I don't have a plastic surgeon for this bad hand laceration, it may not be bad enough that an orthopedic surgeon needs to get involved or someone else subspecialized, or maybe it's a facial laceration. Guess what? I'm the plastic surgeon. I'm going to be the one putting it together. And we've gotten really good at this. And especially the PAs and NPs in my department have gotten really good at this. And we tend to be the ones to do most of the difficult repairs. A, we have a little more time usually. And B, because we do it so much, we're pretty darn good at this. And that's true for a lot of different things. We may have that person in our department who's the guru or maybe the specialist in a sense of what we have around here. And to save that person from a transfer, unnecessary or necessary, depending on the situation, but it may save that patient from this lengthy transfer process and everything, we may be able to manage it there. Which is one more reason why, if we say we have a really nasty laceration that needs subspecialty consults such as plastics or needs to see orthopedics, whatever the case may be, believe us, we're not trying to send you something that we just don't want to deal with. They usually have enough in the story that there's something that we're concerned about. And we have to manage all different levels of patients. Now, usually in the big centers, you're going to have basically like a critical resuscitation type area. You're going to have this high acuity, but not super high, you know, the undifferentiated chest pain or abdominal pain. And then you're going to have that low acuity type of fast track side of things. In those big centers, you can do that. You can split them out and you split out your providers that way. But really, in the rule settings, if it's solo coverage, you're trying to balance all three levels of acuity there. You're trying to handle everything that comes in through the door. So you have to be good at all of it. You can't just say, well, today I feel like I'm only going to do low priority stuff. Guess what? You're going to do everything. Part of this, too, to help out with this is that when you're in a tertiary care center, we need to provide the outreach. What's something that we feel like we can handle really well in a rural setting and is appropriate to handle in a rural setting? And what really probably needs to go to a specialist? And that happens a lot. We do that with our STEMI and stroke education, and we do that with our trauma education, things like that. But the outreach needs to be at multiple levels. It's not just simply giving that kind of information, like this is what our services are capable of, but also here's what you can do to ever prevent that patient from going over. Such as simple trach management. Do you know how to change out a trach really easily? Or maybe it's an LVAD patient. Do you know that pretty much when that LVAD patient gets there, you need to start trying to get with the LVAD specialist and get them up there? Almost no matter what the complaint is, they're probably going to need some sort of management there. So those are the types of things we need to think about and that both sides can help each other with. Also, sometimes the rural needs to educate the urban as far as saying, these are issues. We're not getting feedback. We don't know what's going on. This is so important. We both need to be giving feedback to one another, urban and rural. We need to talk about what we're doing right and what we're doing not so right. Now, something else, because I know these are going to be questions that are probably going to come up with the talk that I'm about to give, and I want to go them just a little more detail right now, but talking about meaningful steps that can be done to help with the academia side of things. Well, that's like the stuff I'm talking about right here, just the simple knowledge courses or giving a quick 15-minute presentation. Sometimes maybe all you do, or you do a couple hours. Sometimes you can do a multiple-day symposium. Keep in mind, those are hard to do to get everyone there. So sometimes if you do repeat training, and I remember this from when we did this on the fire department side where we got a new truck. Well, a guy hung around for 3 days because the idea is that it will get different shifts of people and that he would stick around and teach it a few hours each day, hopefully getting different people. Now, some people would come back each day just to get the extra education and knowledge from it and pick up the little things that they didn't pick up the first time through, which is also good. But this allowed that different people would come on different shifts. And maybe that's what we need to do here. You know, usually you're going to figure out, you're going to have a couple different clusters of people who work different shifts. And one of the most common complaints I hear about outreach programs are they're there on the days or times that they're not working. And so they're not able to get in, or maybe they have obligations elsewhere, so they can't just come in on their time off. But we need to keep that as a factor, and we need to work on a rotating schedule for this. We also, again, need to focus on that feedback side and know what we're doing right and wrong. Again, so many different levels of education, so easy to do. Now, when it comes to actually the process of leaving that ivory tower, in a sense, that's a little more difficult. That's an individual basis, but I'd be happy to talk to anyone who's interested in that. But like I said, this is something that can really grow your career because you become less dependent on other specialists. It's still important to rely on your colleagues because your colleagues are going to provide you more in-depth knowledge. But what really is nice about working in a rural setting is it does challenge you. You may not see as many of patients or as acute of patients always as what you have seen in the past, but I will tell you their complexity and their management becomes a lot more interesting. Because how often in urban settings, especially that tertiary academic center that has everything under the sun, well, everyone farms out their stuff to other specialists. Again, that hand laceration may not be too complex, but I don't have a lot of time. I'm seeing five or six other people right now. So I'll get plastics involved. I'll get that resident to come down and look at it. Oh, I got a, you know, decent distal radius ulnar fracture. That looks like it needs reduction. Oh, look, ortho's here to reduce it. Perfect. I've got a patient with stroke-like symptoms. Well, I'll call the neurologist and they'll take a look at it. All those types of things, yes, are going to be things we'll try and do whenever possible. But at the same time, not everyone's going to get it farmed out. You will probably have to reduce your own, you know, shoulders and reduce your own fractures and dislocations, all that types of stuff. You'll probably have to do most of your own suturing. And even if you don't do it, let's say you're a physician who you've got a PA or an NP around who's deciding to be really nice to you because it really is a favor. I don't care what you think. It really is a favor for us to do it. Let's say they're nice enough to still suture for it. You still have to know how to do it. You still have to be pretty good at it because they're not always going to be there. So this is just something simple to manage. For those stroke patients, you need to know that at least the initial workup and know the indications, contraindications of different management therapies, because this may be someone who may be outside the window of TPA, but may still need neurointervention. You need to know when to pull that trigger versus relying on a specialist at another hospital that may take a while to get contact to. And how often is it that you may not be able to get a hold of someone right away? This is why you need to be able to manage these patients, be really good at it. So it's really challenging, but in a very rewarding way. Plus, patients I've noticed more on the rural side than on the urban side are more thankful for you being there. And there's more of this tie with community. And this is something that once you're basically someone out working out there, it changes your practice. It changes your thought process. You get really good at managing all this different stuff. And it really is a rewarding process for both you and your patients. Another thing to keep in mind, I know this is going to be a little controversial. Those of us who are specifically trained in these specialties. So you have the emergency medicine board certified or board eligible or advanced qualifications, whatever the case may be. You have that specialized training. Anyone can work technically in emergency medicine. We have surgeons at my site. We have family providers or internal medicine providers who are doing that. And that's fine. But by having that board certified individual in emergency medicine, they know the advanced procedures. They know the ins and outs of emergency medicine. And that's so important. And we don't have enough of those people in rural settings. Even though not everyone needs to that, you know, they're going to have the experience and knowledge with time. This gives you a big leg up. And when you're talking about the validity of your department, having that type of person there, even if it's to be primarily an educator for others, you know, those who aren't board certified will teach in the same manner and we'll make sure that everyone's on the same page. That can be really huge. And again, I think this is something we need to work on more. So I can go on this for hours, but I want to give you this quick little primer thought for those of you who are out there in the ivory tower about things to consider. And for us who are already in the rural settings, what we can do to help make things better and why we should be happy for what we do. Again, we're going to talk about this more. And don't worry, I have more podcasts coming up where it's not just me talking. I finally got to record with some other people. And we'll talk about that more later. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere. Thank you for downloading another episode of Total EM. We want to thank our bandwidth sponsor, FunnyRx, for sponsoring this show. You can also see them on our website, but we also have included links to their website, funnyrx.com. Again, thank you, FunnyRx, for sponsoring this episode.